This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. COVID-19 has upended lives and livelihoods across the planet, and its impact is not only being felt on land, but at sea too, and it has also affected our blue economy. So how can we take advantage of this great pause and use this window of opportunity offered by reduced emissions and energy demand to protect the marine environment better? So in conjunction with World Oceans Day next week, which is on the 8th of June, we're going to be discussing today how to build an ocean economy that is both stronger and more sustainable after COVID-19 with Fairul Ismail Jamal Hisni, the Vice Chairperson and Co-Founder of Meriset, and Edmund Lau, a Program Manager at ReefCheck Malaysia. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good. Good to be here. Thanks, Juliet.
Just to get started, many of us, I think, were excited by the supposed, positive environmental benefits of the current coronavirus crisis, because, of course, global human activity has had to adapt to some health response measures, right? And we've been seeing images from Italy, for example, depicting famous canals of Venice, clear, full of aquatic life, for example. But, of course, this wasn't really the true picture of things. So maybe the both of you can help me, what can you tell me about the impacts on the health of reefs and to sea life in particular as a result of the global lockdowns? Why don't we start with you, Edmund?
Well, we have seen photos and reports of all these animals coming back. Like, for example, you raised in Italy, in the Venice. Locally, we have seen like turtle landing in my hometown, Port Dickson, and also dolphins appearing in Port Dickson. Mm. So these are actually probably animals coming more closer to the shore because there are less human presence. They have been there for all this while. It's just that when we have a lot of human presence, they tend to stay away. But now with this lockdown, everybody staying at home, there's less human presence. So I believe that they are coming a little bit more closer. But this doesn't mean that, it doesn't say that it's actually the reefs or the sea life are actually recovering or their health is getting better. It's a long-term ecological process. They need time, especially for the reefs. They need time to recover. They need time to build resilience. If in order for us to say that it's healthy, we need a little bit more time to see and collect some data to tell whether it's really recovering or not. Definitely, the global lockdown has reduced human activities. This is just reducing the pressure for the coral reefs, at least. This is an opportunity for the reefs to build resilience, to overcome the shock pressure from human beings all this while they have been facing all this pressure. So we need to give them a bit more time to recover. I believe that after this, my concern is more on post-COVID-19. There's an increase of single-use plastics. There's a lot of takeaways and food deliveries. And there's a lot of use of sanitizers and disinfectant, which means a lot of chemicals will be flushed down into the water cycle, eventually will end up in the ocean and affecting the marine life. So these are the things that we are not sure how it's going to be like after post-COVID-19. So it's too early to say that whether it's getting healthy, it's getting better. But definitely, it's a small win for the environment. It reduces stress. But in the long term, we need to be out there collecting more data and see how it is affecting. I will compare this to like Boracay and Maya Bay closure. We've seen animal returning, but these are all just anecdotal. There's no evidence. There's no like data coming out from it, whether the numbers have increased. We are just seeing them returning. Whether have they been improving or not, we need to do like water quality testing, counting the animals out there, looking at the reef health. So these are the things that we need to look at in order to say that whether it's going to be, whether it has an impact or not on the environment.
Okay. And Fairul, is there anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, and no, I agree fully with what Edmund said. I think it's only been 2 months, a couple of months for other parts of the world. So compared to the pressures that the environment has been facing for many, many years, I think it's a bit optimistic to say that definitely the environment has improved due to the lockdown situation. I think there's definitely a break that's given because people are not going out and applying pressure to the environment. Mm. But I think we need to be a bit realistic that the environment itself, I don't think, has vastly improved just because people haven't been to the ocean or to the beach. I think it's a good notion, and I think it is definitely positive to see a lot of wildlife appearing in places where people have not seen them in a while. But yeah, we need to be a bit cautious in what we claim is the impact of the lockdown situation.
Yeah, I guess it's just a bit too soon, right, to determine if there's any sort of definitive impacts for now, that is. But again, that depends on some research. But, you know, I guess even simple things like less people going to the beach, for example, maybe that means less trash getting into the water. I don't know. Isn't that a positive thing?
It is. And then hopefully that continues on when people can get back to the beach. Unfortunately, I mean, we've seen reports, we've seen articles showing that when people do get the opportunity to go back to the beach, behaviors have not changed. so that's a bit unfortunate. Yeah, I think it's not a matter of less people going to the beach. I think it's waste is still being generated even in this lockdown period, and I think people need to really understand that. Just because we're in a lockdown doesn't mean that we can still throw our garbage indiscriminately. Especially nowadays, we're using a lot of masks, a lot of disposable items. And personally, you know, whenever I go around, I see a lot of disposable items being disposed everywhere.
Yeah.
And it does go into our waterways, which then ultimately leads to the ocean. So I don't know whether just because people not going to the beach, it means less waste entering the oceans. I think it's whether people are throwing their waste properly to the right channels. Yeah.
I think, you know, one of the horrible things I've been seeing a lot of is discarded face masks on the floor, you know, thrown on the ground. Yeah. And obviously, like you say, you know, that's going to end up in drains. It's going to end up in our waterways, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a bit concerning as well, because we don't know these masks are whether it's from people who infected, asymptomatic, and that adds a new dimension as well, because you know you got your health hazards. And what we understood from one of our partners is that a lot of the recycling centers are not operational as well, so there's less capacity to manage recyclable waste at this time, and that's a bit of a concern moving forward, because there's waste and then there's recyclable waste, and if those waste can't be recycled for whatever reason, then we're going to have a big issue once this lockdown is ended.
Yeah, that is quite troubling. Anything you wanted to add to that, Edmund?
Like Farah said, we have received reports not just on land. There were some masks spotted on the beach of some islands as well. So, yeah, it's been going on for a while. As I said earlier on, my concern is more of what's going to happen after the post-lockdown. Probably there will be sudden surge increase of trash in the ocean and get washed up to the beach after a few months later. So, yeah, these are the things that we are a bit more concerned of.
Okay. And, you know, also due to COVID-19, the maritime industry that has experienced, reduced demand for fresh fish products, international container shipping, research, even conservation and naval activity, all of that has sort of lessened. I mean, that might be a plus for oceanic health, but could it also increase illicit maritime activities, for example, that might impact fish levels, or, you know, could this lead to smuggling or piracy and things like that?
Well, I think in terms of smuggling, piracy and so on, I think this lockdown is actually being handled. I guess it has an indirect effect to it, because countries are closing borders, so they're increasing patrols. And in that sense, any sort of smuggling activities or piracy activities tend to be reduced, because there's greater enforcement, a lot more enforcement authorities out there patrolling the borders, patrolling the seas. I mean, I don't have data to back this up, but just having conversations with people in the industry, I think illicit maritime activities are harder to be implemented at this point because of the increasing enforcement. Although the enforcement is really just to protect our borders, but you know, as an indirect effect, of course, this illegal activities are being curbed. But in terms of oceanic health, again, we won't know really until more work is done to look at whether fish stocks are actually affected or not. I mean, the demand for seafood is still there. And I think a lot of, especially for our country, a lot of the fishermen have been able to go out to sea. So I don't think there's been a massive reduction in fishing activities. Because food security at the end of the day is one of the nation's concerns, and that has been considered as an essential activity even from the very beginning of the MCO. So in that sense, I think fishing has been ongoing. It's more or less business as usual.
Just like during this lockdown, I think the MCS activity, which is monitoring, control and surveillance by the authorities, are still ongoing because we have received reports like Department of Fisheries has caught some illegal boats that are encroaching into the marine protected areas. So they are doing some of the job of, capturing all these illegal activities or encroachment, I would say. At the same time, having less people out in the sea, like, you know, fishing activity or tourism activity, we actually have less eyes and ears to make reports if they observe any illicit activities. So that somehow has affected a little bit. But in terms of oceanic health, yeah, I agree with Pyro. It's too early to say if there's any change at the moment.
Okay, all right. I'm speaking today to Fairul Ismail Jamal Hisni. He's the Vice Chairperson and Co-Founder of Marisat, and also Edmund Lau, who is a Program Manager at Reef Check Malaysia. And we're doing a check-in on the ocean and the sea and marine ecosystems and the impacts COVID-19 has had on the marine ecosystems, and maybe what also does the future hold for it. And we're going to continue that discussion after this quick break. You're listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today are Fairul Ismail Jamal Hisni. He's the Vice Chairperson and Co-Founder of Marisat, and Edmund Lau, who's the Program Manager at Reef Check Malaysia. And we're doing a check-in on marine ecosystems, in this time of COVID-19. And we're also going to try and explore what the future holds for the ocean and for these marine ecosystems. So one of the things that has been an impact of the global lockdowns, scientific institutions all around the world, they've had to shut down or suspend field research. What do you think the long-term effects of this will be, especially on field science? How have all these lockdowns, how is that going to impact conservation work?
Well, there are some impacts for sure. For example, we are unable to go out to the field to do surveys, monitoring and collecting data. But looking from another perspective, there are some silver lining onto it. Now, for Reef Check Malaysia, we are actually a very small organization. So our team members have to multitask most of the time. So our time are actually occupied in doing a lot of things. Now that everything is sort of like halted, we have a little bit of time to do like internal review, team planning and re-strategize the direction of organization, do more thinking, a lot of strategic thinking, a bit more of desk work, and, attending webinars, online courses, try to keep ourselves updated with all the changes and information going around the world. So there are things that we miss this year. For example, like it is expected for some coral spawning in Tioman in April. Where the lockdown happened, we can't go out and have an observation on the coral spawning. We also received the NOAA satellite data alerting of coral bleaching that's happening. So we are unable to go out and monitor and give them a ground-truthing information whether the satellite data is reading is correct and whether if there's any bleaching, how severe the bleaching is, if there is. And we're not sure if there's any underwater trash, for example, like ghost nets being exposed. These are the things that we need to clear as soon as possible before it starts to trap charismatic animals like sharks, turtles, or even like dolphins. And there were also observation of dead turtles and dolphins during this whole period of MCO. Maybe Fairul can add on the carcasses and stuff. There's no opportunity for us to do necropsy to find out the cause of death and things like that. So yeah, somehow these are all affected. And another thing in terms of long-term, it's that this actually is a golden opportunity for us to do a study using a control situation where there's almost like zero human activity. So this is like a sort of like the baseline for comparison, but we can't go out because of all this restriction for health reasons, right? Mm. So there's no opportunity for us to go and collect this data and see what has changed. In a way that we understand that we need to do this for the safety of everyone. But yeah, it's just a global opportunity missed. So, and what my concern is that also if this thing gets pushed until the end of the year when the monsoon comes, Reef Check has been collecting the reef monitoring data for the past 12 years. And if we're going to miss this opportunity this year, then it's like a shame that there's a gap of information for 1 year. But let's pray that we do not reach that level. I hope that we can go out to collect data soon. go in the field soon, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I was just going to say that's going to have an impact on your long-term studies, lah.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, all right. What about you, Fairul?
Yeah, well, it's similar for us. And as Edmund said, that there are definite positives. I mean, for us, we've accumulated a lot of data from the previous field surveys that we've done that we've never managed to analyze properly. So there is this prediction that by the end of the lockdown period, there'll be a lot of papers being churned out by scientists all over the world because they finally have time to analyze the data that we've collected over the years. But I think from our side, that's definitely true, where we'll be spending a lot of time analyzing the data that we have and writing up papers and having finally the time to really look at the information that we've collected so far and what the implications are for the conservation side of things. So that's a good outcome from this lockdown, giving us that time to look at that. But definitely we are worried about data gaps because of this period that we can't go out. There are a few incidences that we know of where we've received reports of animal being stranded that we can't attend to. So things like that is definitely a downside of this. So how will it impact us in the long term? We're not sure yet. Hopefully it doesn't go for too long, because if it does go for quite a while, I think this year there will be a big gap that we need to make a lot of assumptions for, which we tend not to want to do whenever we do this sort of research.
And you know, will that sort of have echoes spread through to the field of climate science as well? You know, there'll be, I'm guessing, a lot of trickle-down effects on all forms of research, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think But the thing with climate science, I think that's a field of science where they use a lot of remote monitoring systems and a lot of calculations. I don't think not going out to field would significantly affect climate science, mm-hmm. Because you can still calculate emissions remotely. You can have remote monitoring systems set up or have already been set up where the data is being fed, you know, on an hourly or daily basis. Mm-hmm. So you still get your data. And of course, you know, satellite information are coming in regardless. So I think in terms of climate science, it's not going to be as affected as some of the fields, like, for example, ecology. Ecology, biodiversity is more site-specific, where mm-hmm. you really need to go to the site to collect the data, and there's less reliance on remote monitoring technology because of it's expensive, of course.
Obviously, it's affected your own research, your own conservation work. And I think, you know, I was reading that the pandemic has also affected funding for many projects. Has that also been a problem for, you know, both your respective organizations?
Well, for now, we're just basing on what we predict is going to happen. Like Marset is part of a network, the World Conservation Network, and we've had conversations around this where we look at donor behaviors, trends that's happening with grant providers, and definitely a lot of organizations and a lot of individual donors are taking a step back from providing grants and providing funding, and a lot of it is because they want to prepare themselves for what's likely to be a global recession after this lockdown period. So I think that there's a lot of hesitancy from various donors to provide any sort of significant funds at this point. Not because of the lack of will, it's just to make sure that everyone is able to sustain their own respective organizations. And of course, individuals need to make sure that they themselves can survive before they donate to a cause that they believe in. So definitely funding is affected, and it's a matter of us really re-looking at how we become a bit more prudent in our spending as well. Sure. As an organization. Yeah. And Marset has come up with a bunch of strategy to address that. So as an organization, we're small, and we've always been quite aware of how we spend the money that we have. But I think we've looked at various ways to reduce our expenses even further this year, just to make sure that we can still continue to operate we can still continue to do the work that we've been entrusted to do and we've mandated to do.
And what about over at Reef Check, Edmund?
Yeah, well, there's definitely, there are some effects, but for us, we will do some internal review on how we're going to manage our finances because the work needs to be done. There are some projects, like a long-term project on islands, they are based there. These works needs to continue and needs to be done. So it is more on us reviewing internally how are we going to seek for more funding. Even before COVID, funding has always been something that we are looking for forward to. We try to get more funding to support more of our activities. But yeah, so it's just that now that we have to do a little bit more internal review on how more we can optimize more of whatever funding that we have at the moment.
I guess, you know, from all of this, what I'm gathering from the both of you is also that, you know, this is also an opportunity for scientists to rethink the ways you're doing things, to rethink the way you're carrying out your research as well. I guess it's just been a lot of change for everyone, right? Just to rethink and to do things better. And I mean, that's what people are saying, you know, it's crucial to take advantage of this window of opportunity that, like I mentioned earlier, has been offered by all the reduced emissions, the energy demand, and this is to protect the marine environment. So, you know, for the both of you, in what ways do you feel that the government or governments across the world and also the corporate sector, you know, what ways can they improve on marine sustainability and resilience in our post-pandemic world?
I think this is an opportunity for the government and corporate sector to sort of like reset and put in place more sustainable driven policy, because like old habits die hard. So if you want something to change it drastically, it's always you will have the sense of resistance. But looking at what's happening now, there's an opportunity for governments and corporate sector to do some review in terms of policy that we can't go back to business as usual. You know, with sustainable development goals are in place, this is an opportunity to set something new, opening up post-lockdown in a gradual process, more adaptable. But in keeping in mind that sustainable development, more eco-friendly kind of approach, more concern to the environment, and having a resilience principle set in the management, it's something that this can be done at this moment. So there is a need to reconsider this in terms of the policy for the upcoming post-lockdown. Yeah.
Yeah, I think what this pandemic has shown is that we're all connected in some way. I guess previously, we tend to focus on our field and our sector, but this pandemic has shown that, you know, the world is all linked. And I think this is an opportunity for us to embrace that and to really look at how we can collaborate better, not just within the same sector, but across sectors and across different levels of governance. So governments, I think, should and hopefully will use this opportunity to really look at how they can look at policies, but also be the steward in terms of bringing in the various sectors within the corporate world, the communities, the non-governmental organizations together to really address sustainability issues, especially the marine environment. I think this pandemic has also shown or cast a spotlight on marginalized communities. A lot of the communities that live in the coastal areas, in the islands, in Malaysia, for example, have traditionally been, well, not to say that they've been ignored, but they haven't really been reaping the benefits of a lot of the policies that's been drawn up. But they are the direct steward of the marine environment. And maybe this is the right time and the best opportunity for us to really look at how they've been impacted and what sort of policies that we can draw up, what sort of programs can we implement to get them on board. Because without these communities, conservation will not be able to become successful, because if they don't buy in, then they, you know, we don't have people right there on site who would be able to help us with conservation actions. And in terms of corporate sector, I think the SDG, the UN Sustainable Development Goals, have Goal 17, which is Partnership for the Goals. And this is where corporate sectors can play a big role in terms of pushing for a lot of positives in the sustainability agenda, really look at innovation. We've seen that in how businesses are being run. People are, have been forced to work remotely and look at different ways to conduct business. And I don't see why we can't apply the same principles for conservation. I think businesses have the right tools, the right technology, the right skills that they can bring in and offer to various governments and research bodies to work together. I think that's traditionally people have been focusing a lot on their own sector and their own expertise. I think if we look beyond that, I think we will be surprised at how well we can work together and collaborate and innovate.
And, you know, it's also a great way for everybody to come together. You know, I mean, there's so many crises that we're facing, and it's a great way for everyone to come together to sort of look for nature-based solutions, you know, for a lot of the issues that are plaguing, you know, the environment and the world in general.
Yep, no, definitely. I think we're seeing that in the industries. A lot of the industries are now looking at ways to minimizing their impacts, but also going beyond that to see what else can they do. And that's where, you know, they need people, that they need help from researchers, they need help from NGOs to provide those ideas and look for solutions.
Are you hopeful that, you know, this lockdown and everything, this is also a chance that people will shift towards more, let's say, greener practices in sectors such as shipping, you know, and fisheries and even tourism for that matter?
Oh, we're always hopeful.
Bless you. Bless both of you and all the hard work you do.
Definitely. I think we've seen that. We've seen there's been a shift. There's definitely been a shift in people's thinking in trying to adopt green practice. I was very surprised when I was at the Ocean Conference a few years ago at the UN. There have been a lot of innovation being done in the shipping industry, for example. I mean, the shipping industry all around the world are going towards reducing impacts on their emissions. I saw there was a company in Scandinavia that was pioneering wind-driven engines so that they don't have to use fossil fuels. And this wind-driven turbine is basically more or less zero emissions, and it can power up cargo ships, you know. So I think that there's a lot that can be done. There are a lot of companies that are looking towards reducing impacts, to reduce climate change impacts, but also to reduce impacts to biodiversity, to reduce impacts to water quality and so on. So I think this pandemic is just, you know, a quick eye opener to those industries that there are bit more resistant, I guess, to say that, you know, you can't fight it. At the end of the day, green practices will need to be adopted across the board, because it's the world is connected, and however we impact the environment will definitely impact us economically. So there is a definite linkage there. We can see that with this pandemic. Health issues are causing a lot of grief, I guess, for people's finances, for businesses, for individuals, you know, education, everything is linked. So by adopting green practices, I think it's just a matter of time. It's not a good to have anymore. I think it's a must have.
Okay. And is there anything you wanted to add to that, Edmund?
I just wanted to be more optimistic, to believe that, you know, there is a chance that these corporate sectors will change towards greener practices. I believe if there is a lot more engagement with all the stakeholders and a policy that is set in place, it will be a much smoother transition shift towards green practices. Looking for tourism, for example, like now, people are considering whether it's safe to travel with strict SOPs, no crowding, more social distancing. This would mean, like, you know, less crowd will be going for tourism. And this is an opportunity to go for green practices, eco-friendly practices, low volume but high value tourism. People need to feel confident to travel safely. you know, there are already like the diving operators, there's already have a guidelines from this green fins practices, which they can adopt to how to be a little bit more, how to operate more greener practices. So there's a trend that is growing now that people are moving towards greener practices. So now, hopefully, post-lockdown, will be something, will be a much smoother transition into more greener practices. But of course, as I mentioned earlier, there will be a lot of things like disinfectant or sanitizers being used, single disposable items. This needs to be managed in order to have a smooth transition into greener practices.
Okay, all right. And I don't mean to rain on this very positive parade here, on all the positivity that you're talking about. But on the flip side, is there a chance that this pandemic could be instead exploited, and used as an opportunity to abandon progress that's being made in terms of, good governance in sectors such as shipping, fisheries, tourism, those sorts of things?
Yeah, definitely there's a chance.
sorry to be that cold voice of negativity.
No. I think we need to look at that both sides, right? Mm. And yes, there's a definite chance for that to happen. I think if people look at short-term gains, yes, definitely people will exploit this and use it to achieve their short-term goals. But I guess I'm hopeful that people will look at it in a longer term and look at a larger picture and to see that good governance requires time. It requires a lot of effort initially to kickstart it, but it turns into a habit. And hopefully, this pandemic has provided a lot of hassle to a lot of people that they don't want to repeat. and that will deter them from exploiting this window of opportunity, if you like. Yeah.
Edmund, did you want to add anything to that?
Well, I just think that there's always a risk that, there's a chance that these things can be exploited. People are eager to go back to business as usual because it has been a life that has been like that for so many years. But at the same time, I like to believe that there's good in all these things. We need to really keep pushing the progress that we have made in terms of moving towards environmental sustainability. The trend is there. We really need to push this. We really need to continue doing it. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of partnership, a lot of communication. I'm just hopeful that during this pandemic, a lot of people are attending all these webinars. I have a lot of friends who feel that they learn a little bit more during this period. So hopefully this could channel into a positive energy to push for more change. Yeah, I still try to keep a more optimistic and positive mentality despite all this, the risk is there. But if we don't do it, if we don't think positively, then who will? So we need to continue pushing for this. Yeah.
Again, bless you guys. but, many are saying that there's no more, we shouldn't go back to business as usual, right? That we have to come out of all of this having learned something and, changing for the better. So what are some of the outcomes that you hope for from all of this?
Well, for me, I think definitely let's not go back to business as usual. I think let's, we talk about windows of opportunity. I think this is a great window of opportunity for us to come together as a community, as a society, as a species, really, to really look at how we're impacting our planet and how can we work together to address it. I think on a local scale, this is something that we've not been able to address because the MCO was implemented quite quickly, which was the transition of government. And for us in the NGO sector, in the environment sector, for example, we're not sure where the new government is going in terms of their environmental goals and objectives and policies, really. So for us, at least for Marisat, we would like to see some direction from the government locally to see what are the hopes and aspirations of the new government in terms of environmental management, protection and stewardship, and how can the government then provide a platform for universities, NGOs, independent researchers and corporate sector to come together to address the various issues that we have here in Malaysia, especially concerning the marine environment. So I think hopefully by the end of all this, we start looking at the environment sector as something that merits a higher priority than that has been done historically. Because we do, as a country, for example, Malaysia, it has a lot of advantages in terms of our environment and natural resources. And I think we need to stop looking at those resources as something to be extracted and exploited, rather to start looking at it as an area where we need to conserve and appreciate and use it to benefit our communities, our businesses, and at the same time, our country.
Okay, and Edmund?
Yeah, I agree with Fairo that there's no going back to business as usual. I really hope that we don't go back to business as usual. There are some positive outcomes through this MCO. We see not just from the environmentalist point of view. We have seen, like, immediately after the lockdown, there's a lot of us Malaysians within the community are trying to help each other. There's a lot of organization came up to support each other, to provide food supply in terms of donations, supporting other organizations. So I hope for the same for the environment. From Reef Check's perspective, that we have trying to prepare the environment, the coral reef, into ecological resilience against climate change. Things like, more warming of the ocean and ocean acidification. We try to prepare the people on the island to social resilience. But this is something that we sort of unexpected, like pandemic or economic crisis that comes in between, that we never really thought of this is going to happen so soon, or we never really prepared for it. So there's no way of going back to this. We have to learn from this experience that in whatever we do, we need to be more balanced. We have to have more balanced perspective. We need to have a little bit more of resilience concept in whatever we do, so that we can always try to adapt to the change and try to bounce back from the shock that we have. So what I hope for is that through this MCO, we get a little bit more of awareness. They need to be get translated into action. People need to start practice the new normal when they go for holidays on the, near the ocean or on the beach. They need to really practice more eco-friendly practices, to not harass the animals, to not harm the environment, try to control the single-use disposable items. These are the things that we hope that it will change. In fact, for now, one of the things that I foresee that we need to also improve is that in terms of energy use, because during MCO, everybody is locked down, staying at home, working from home, the energy surge has increased. So this is something that we also need to think about post-pandemic and lockdown. We need to try to reduce the energy demand that we are using. So yeah, there's no going back to business as usual. We really need to adapt and embrace the new normal, be concerned about the environment. This is going to be the future that we are going to. This is what I hope for. It's all positive. I just try to keep that motivated. So I believe that a lot of my friends out there, especially in the field of conservation, sometimes we all need some motivation. So I'm trying to build that as well.
No, we need that. I think the world needs a lot of positivity now. So I'm afraid we're running out of time, but it is World Oceans Day on the 8th of June. Is there any last message that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, I think World Oceans Day, unfortunately, is one of those environmental observances that takes a backseat because it's so close to World Environment Day. Mm-hmm. But hopefully, we look at it this year as one, World Environment Day and World Oceans Day. The ocean is part of the environment. And I know a lot of people don't see that because they don't live near the ocean. But our world is connected by the ocean. And that's really what's the driving force for us to really work together, because what we do to the ocean affects everyone else. And hopefully the lessons learned from this pandemic can be translated into our behaviours, into more of there are more thoughts to be put into our heads that whatever actions that we take will definitely affect the environment and affect the ocean. And therefore, as Simon says, we're going to be very optimistic about this, that people are going to change their mindset and be more aware, be more appreciative of the environment, because we've been stuck indoors for quite a while now. And yeah. the last thing we want is to go outdoors to a place that is not so pleasant. I think all of us are looking forward to going out and being able to, you know, spend a lot of time outdoors and be very appreciative of having being surrounded in a nice, clean and healthy environment. So hopefully we all can work together to achieve that.
Yeah, I like to say that ocean is an ecosystem that we really need to appreciate. Humans are a part of the ecosystem. One part of the ecosystem. We are not a part, as in, like, you know, separated from the ecosystem. If we all human beings have a role in damaging the environment, I'm sure that all of us have a role to prevent it from happening further. It is for not just for us, it is for our children. This is a place that, you know, a world that we will leave to our children. So what I like to say is that I hope that everybody think in this way, that if we want to leave a better world to our children, we need to make sure that we have to leave a world that is livable to them. Imagine there's no more oxygen, we have to wear a mask every day. You know, is that the life that we want? So we need to really play a more active role in be concerned about environment. So World Ocean Day is just a day to appreciate environment, but it doesn't mean that we appreciate it on that day. It is supposed to be our lifestyle that we need to be appreciative of our nature. There's only one home and there's no planet B. This is our only home. If we don't protect our home, then there will be no home for us. So yeah, I think that's my message for the World Oceans Day.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for joining me today. I've been speaking to Fairul Ismail Jamal Hisne. He is the Vice Chairperson and Co-Founder of Marisette, and Edmund Lau, who's the Program Manager at ReefCheck Malaysia. And we've been doing sort of a check-in on the ocean and, you know, marine ecosystems and, you know, how COVID-19 has impacted it and how, you know, this is a global call that we need to build back better, you know, following in the post-COVID-19 world. But, you know, if you'd like to find out more information about Marisette, you can head to marisette.org. That's marisette.org. And if you'd like to find out more about ReefCheck Malaysia, do head to reefcheck.org.my. And I think, you know, both organizations have your social media pages, so you can just search for them there as well. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcasts on our BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.